Tonight, protesters by the thousands descend on Washington, D.C., demanding the protection of abortion rights. 2 weeks after the Supreme Court's bombshell decision overturning Roe v. Wade, protesters swarming outside the White House. Some of President Biden's supporters believe his new executive order does not go far enough, while one anti-abortion rights group calls the president's action tragic. Mississippi closing the clinic at the center of the Supreme Court ruling, and Pennsylvania could soon be putting abortion rights on the ballot. At least 14 states now ceasing nearly all abortions. Overseas tonight, Japan, now a nation consumed by grief. The body of former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, assassinated while giving a campaign speech, returned to Tokyo. His wife traveling with him. A 90-member task force now investigating how the suspect, allegedly armed with a homemade gun, was able to get so close. Bob Woodruff in Tokyo. Back here at home, dangerous heat alerts across much of the U.S., a large wildfire exploding at Yosemite National Park, red flag warnings in the west, and tracking severe storms and possible tornadoes into tomorrow. Elon Musk's Twitter battle, 24 hours after saying he's terminating the $44 billion deal. Will the court have the final decision? News tonight about that much-anticipated testimony from former President Trump's White House counsel, Pat Cipollone. What we're learning about what he told the January 6th committee behind closed doors. Shark patrols on high alert along America's beaches. Two recent shark attacks involving lifeguards off New York. The warning to everyone going into the water. Chaos on the streets of Sri Lanka. The president and prime minister both vowing to resign amid violent protests. Tens of thousands storming the presidential residence. More help may be on the way for Brittany Griner, the big name now trying to win her release from Russia. And America Strong, the three-year-old firefighter suiting up to answer the call.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
Good evening. It's great to have you with us on this Saturday. I'm Whit Johnson. We begin tonight with the battle over abortion. Thousands taking to the streets, abortion rights supporters protesting today in our nation's capital. The call to action coming just 24 hours after President Biden's executive order aimed at protecting access to reproductive health care services. Many of the demonstrators saying the president's actions do not go far enough. They want him to do more. Protesters also holding a sit-in outside the White House, some traveling hundreds of miles. Strong opinions on both sides of the issue, with anti-abortion rights groups blasting the president's move. All of this as 14 states have now stopped nearly all abortions. Louisiana, the latest state to join those already with bans or heavy restrictions. And tonight, Pennsylvania could soon become the first state to put abortion on the ballot since the Supreme Court's ruling. ABC's Alex Brochet leading us off from Washington.
Tonight, thousands in the nation's capital demanding more action on abortion rights in front of the White House.
It was very important to come down here, especially with my daughter.
Today's protest coming 24 hours after President Biden signed an executive order, which some supporters say doesn't go far enough.
It was a great first step. We are really, you know, interested in him continuing to find the limits of his power on this.
The executive order aims to expand access to medication, abortion, and emergency contraception, protects mobile clinics used to offer care for out-of-state patients, and bolsters legal efforts to protect the rights of those traveling out-of-state for abortions. One anti-abortion rights group saying it's tragic that this administration is using its power to push for more and more painful abortions. Others doubt it will do much at all.
Anytime a politician says they're going to form a task force, I wouldn't be too excited about that language. This was simply a statement.
Tonight, at least 14 states have ceased nearly all abortion services. Louisiana's the latest after a temporary restraining order blocking the state's trigger laws was lifted.
We certainly intend to continue to defend the laws of the state and to enforce those laws.
Abortion rights advocates there now hoping for a successful legal challenge to the state's ban. The case delayed, transferred to a different court's jurisdiction. Abortion rights in Pennsylvania could soon be on the ballot. A Republican proposal could add a provision to the state's constitution jeopardizing abortion rights. It could be set for a vote as early as next spring. At least two other states have similar ballot initiatives. And in Mississippi, the clinic at the center of the Supreme Court's abortion decision closing up shop after the state's abortion trigger law went into effect. relief for anti-abortion rights advocates there.
I've been working for the last 40 years to close all the clinics.
Back in D.C., we met Shelley Goddard, who traveled here with her two daughters from Mississippi with a much different outlook.
This affects so much more than just abortion. It affects women's health care in general, and I don't think a lot of people understand that.
Alex Prochet joining us now from the White House. And Alex, President Biden has acknowledged that his power is limited, pleading with supporters of abortion rights to make their voices heard at the ballot box for the midterms.
That's right, Whit. President Biden has urged Americans to vote for Democrats this November, saying that that is the fastest way to codify Roe. And abortion rights advocates that we spoke to today say this absolutely is a motivating issue for the midterm. They say the Republicans will be put on notice, but so will Democrats that refuse to act. Whit?
All right, Alex, thank you. We move on now to the new details emerging from the investigation into the assassination of former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. The body of the country's longest-serving prime minister made its way back to Tokyo, where a vigil is planned for Monday. Authorities are now admitting there may have been security lapses when Abe was shot and killed by a lone gunman on Thursday. ABC's Bob Woodruff is in Tokyo tonight.
Tonight, Japan is in mourning. A motorcade carrying the body of assassinated former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has taken him home.
So shortly after he lost his life, Prime Minister Abe's body was driven here to Tokyo, to his very neighborhood, to his house. This is a tradition in Japan. This street is now covered with police officers to make it secure. A lot of cars coming down for friends, families, those who want to respect him, pulling up in front of his house.
This vicious murder has shocked the nation and the world. Authorities say a lone gunman shot Abe during a campaign speech Friday in the city of Nara with a homemade gun. Shortly after security tackled him to the ground, Japan's longest-serving prime minister died at the hospital. An autopsy revealed that he died of blood loss. Tonight, we're learning more about the investigation and the alleged assassin, 41-year-old Tetsuya Yamagami, charged with the killing. Officials say he confessed. And now a top Japanese police official acknowledges possible security lapses that allowed the shooter to kill Abe have raised questions on how the assassin could get so close. A 90-member task force now launched to investigate. Authorities also searched a second residence after raiding the suspect's apartment Friday. Police say they found several homemade guns. Secretary of State Antony Blinken calling Abe a transformative leader.
This is a tragedy for Japan, tragedy for his family and loved ones and all who knew him, but also for the world.
Whit, here in Tokyo, there is a vigil planned for Monday, and then a funeral will be held on Tuesday for the family and the close friends. You can imagine just how devastating this has been for this country.
Bob Woodruff reporting for us tonight. Thank you. Next year, firefighters in California are battling a fast-moving fire in Yosemite National Park. The Washburn Fire is threatening the Mariposa Grove of giant sequoias. That area of the park is now closed, and hundreds of people have been evacuated. Heat alerts now stretching across the country. Let's get right to meteorologist Greg Dutra from our Chicago station WLS. So, Greg, what's in store for the rest of the weekend?
Whit, it's record high temperatures and bone dry humidity that's driving that high fire danger, and it happens again for tomorrow too. Taking a look at record highs from today, Salt Lake City hit 103, Denver hit 100, that broke a record they set just last year, and triple digit highs are expected again tomorrow. San Antonio could shatter the record that was set just 2 years ago, and heat indices will near 110 degrees. And that's not all. Severe storms in Montana and North Dakota, they may produce damaging winds overnight, that threat moving to Minnesota tomorrow, where the threat for tornadoes increases, and so many already waiting for a calmer start to next work week. Whit?
Yeah, a lot of summer plans at stake. All right, Greg, thank you. Tonight, the world's richest man, Elon Musk, preparing to walk away from his bid to buy Twitter. With billions on the line and the social media giant's value plummeting, a protracted legal battle is now shaping up. Here's ABC's economics correspondent, Deirdre Bolta.
Tonight, get ready for a $44 billion legal battle between one of the world's richest men and Twitter's board.
It's very difficult to end this agreement between Musk and Twitter. If it's a scale of 1 to 10, I might say an 8.
With billions of dollars on the line, commitments from banks, a binding merger agreement, and a $1 billion breakup fee, the stakes are high.
I think Elon Musk would love to be able to pay $1 billion and walk away from this deal. But he's not allowed to do that because he agreed to purchase the company in the merger agreement.
Musk claims that Twitter did not provide enough information about the number of fake accounts on the social media platform. Twitter denies this. The head of Twitter's board tweeting Friday night, it plans to sue. One legal expert says the falling stock market is a factor in the timing of Elon Musk trying to back out now. Twitter stock closed at $36.81 on Friday, well below Elon Musk's offer of $54.20. Tesla, the main source of Elon Musk's wealth and part of the financing to buy Twitter, is down almost 27% since Musk announced his offer for Twitter in April.
It's clear that Musk is trying to get out of this deal.
Some say Musk is trying to back out of the deal so he can still get Twitter, but at a lower price. Others say he just wants out. Whit?
We'll have to stand by and wait and see. Deirdre, thank you. Tonight, we're learning more about that much-anticipated testimony of former President Trump's White House counsel, Pat Cipollone, under oath before the January 6th committee for hours, answering questions about what he saw inside the White House as events unfolded at the Capitol. ABC's Kenneth Moten from Washington tonight.
Details emerging from former Trump White House counsel Pat Cipollone's highly anticipated testimony before the January 6th committee. Meeting behind closed doors for nearly 8 hours, Cipollone was with then-President Trump and Chief of Staff Mark Meadows in the West Wing as the assault on the U.S. Capitol was unfolding. Committee member Zoe Lofgren saying Cipollone was careful and honest.
I will say Mr. Cipollone did appear voluntarily and answer a whole variety of questions. He did not contradict the testimony of other witnesses.
His appearance follows bombshell testimony of former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson, who says Cipollone worked to prevent Trump from challenging the 2020 election and tried to stop him from joining supporters who eventually attacked the Capitol.
Mr. Cipollone said something to the effect of, please make sure we don't go up to the Capitol, Cassidy. Keep in touch with me. We're going to get charged with every crime imaginable if we make that movement happen.
And Whit, no specifics on Cipollone's testimony, but the public is expected to hear clips when hearings resume next week. Whit.
Kenneth, thanks. And be sure to tune in to This Week tomorrow morning. George Stephanopoulos will go one-on-one with Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger ahead of the January 6th committee's next public hearing. As people head to the beaches this summer, officials are stepping up patrols after two recent shark attacks involving lifeguards in Long Island. Both men received minor injuries. Authorities telling beachgoers the water is safe, but they need to stay on alert. Here's ABC's Phil Lipoff.
Tonight, beaches up and down the East Coast on alert, stepping up patrols looking to find sharks before they find swimmers.
So is she bleeding right now?
Friday, in the Florida Keys, a frantic call to 911, a woman suffering from a shark bite, her husband pleading for help. According to the International Shark Attack File, there were 47 unprovoked shark bites in the U.S. in 2021, with the majority of them taking place in Florida.
Yes, there are an increase in sightings because there are more of us out there looking.
On New York's Long Island, more shark patrols monitoring the water with boats, helicopters, even drones. 17-year-old lifeguard trainee John Mullins was about 150 feet from shore at Ocean Beach on Long Island.
It kind of just felt like a scrape, like a rake going up my foot.
Still, Hans Walters, a shark biologist with the Wildlife Conservation Society's New York Aquarium, says your chances of a shark encounter are extremely small.
We are more in tune to sharks than ever before. And I think that's a bigger issue than an actual increase in incidents or an actual increase in the number of sharks.
None of the shark bites we've seen so far this year have been fatal, at least inside the United States, most of them occurring right along the East Coast. Walters tells us he sees no evidence to show that swimmers are less safe today out there in the water than they were years ago. Whit?
All right, Phil, thank you. Now to the war in Ukraine, the U.S. announcing an additional $368 million aid package. That's on top of new advanced rocket systems sent to Ukraine, already making an impact. These images here, Ukrainian officials say, show those rockets hitting their targets in the Russian-occupied east. ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge is in Kyiv tonight.
Tonight, dramatic evidence that U.S. rocket systems now in Ukrainian hands are striking Russian targets. This video circulating online, a Ukrainian official saying an ammunition depot hit in Russian-occupied eastern Ukraine. The U.S. now pledging four more HIMARS rocket systems, which allow the Ukrainians to strike behind enemy lines. And for the first time, the U.S. also promising precision-guided shells for U.S.-supplied howitzers. The munitions can hit targets further away with deadly precision. Today, a girl guided out of the rubble in video from officials in the city of Kharkiv. Russia's destruction across this country, unrelenting. Near Kyiv, the largest plane in the world, trashed when Russia invaded. The Antonov AN-225, only one of its kind ever built. But tonight, amid the carnage, a ray of light.
We've seen classified evidence that the project to rebuild the aircraft is already underway. Wait.
Tom Sufi-Burridge, our thanks to you tonight. Also overseas, Sri Lanka's government is in turmoil. The president and prime minister both vowing to resign after violent protests there. This scene unfolding at the government office, tens of thousands of people storming the building, another crowd forcing their way into the presidential palace, and protesters breaking into the prime minister's private home, setting it on fire. Many in the country are angry over a fuel crisis and food shortages. Back here at home, another victim in the 4th of July Highland Park massacre is being remembered. 69-year-old Eduardo Uvaldo died of his injuries in the hospital. He was a grandfather of 13 and a great-grandfather of 6. Two of his family members, including his wife, were wounded in the attack on parade-goers. Governor Pritzker paying his respects to the family today. There's much more ahead on World News Tonight this Saturday. Gunfire erupting during a family celebration in a city rocked by the deadly police shooting of Jaylen Walker. What we're learning about the death of a 4-year-old girl now. News Tonight about Brittany Griner and the big name now trying to win her release from Russia.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Next tonight, WNBA star Brittany Griner is getting help in her fight for freedom from Russia. Following her guilty plea on drug charges, a source telling ABC News, former Governor Bill Richardson is now planning to travel to Russia, hoping to strike a deal to win her release. Richardson, who played a role in the prisoner exchange for former U.S. Marine Trevor Reed and other Americans, is expected there in the next couple of weeks. And city officials calling for calm after a deadly shooting in Akron, Ohio. Authorities say two people, including a 4-year-old girl, were shot and killed when someone fired into a crowd during a family celebration. While the shooting was not related to protests over the deadly police shooting of Jaylen Walker, the mayor, police chief, and pastors are asking protesters to stand down for 48 hours to help ease tensions in the city. To the index now, and paying tribute to a former star of The Sopranos, actor Tony Sirico has died, best known for playing Paulie Walnuts on The Sopranos. Former co-star Michael Imperioli calling him tough, loyal, and big-hearted. Tony Sirico was 79. And the new Wimbledon champion at center court, Elena Rybakina, winning her first Grand Slam tournament and the first for Kazakhstan. Born in Moscow, she became a citizen there in 2018. Going into Wimbledon, the odds of her winning were 100-1. Finally tonight, America Strong, the 3-year-old firefighter answering the call. When a large fire broke out recently across the street from 3-year-old Micah Watson's house in Glendale, Arizona, the firefighter-loving toddler suited up in his own pint-sized gear, ready to help.
He just ran to get his suit, and he just said it's time to suit up.
Micah standing by in his turnouts, his protective helmet, holding his walkie-talkie.
He acts like he's always on a mission, grabbing his little axe and pretending like he's putting out fires around the house.
The Glendale Fire Department captain on the scene noticed Micah right away.
He was kind of going through all the motions and emulating everything that we were doing on the fire ground, so we thought it was super cute.
Once the fire was out, the fire captain extended Micah and his family an invitation to visit Firehouse 157.
Put your right foot in that one.
I want that one on.
You want this one on?
Yeah. I want the jacket.
You ready to go fight a fire?
Can I wear an air tank?
We'll try it.
Oh, yeah. That's perfect.
Cool.
Micah climbing high up on the ladder truck.
Hi, Mom. Can I turn the light on?
Push this red button right here.
Even turning on the emergency lights.
See, you did that.
An unforgettable moment.
Like a real firefighter now.
Yeah.
For a young boy with a dream.
We don't see a lot of innocence anymore. And so, you know, whenever we have an opportunity to interact with young kids like that, it's great.
Way to go, Micah. We're all a little safer thanks to you. I'm Whit Johnson in New York. Have a great night.